Hello, everyone, and welcome to the National Geographic Society program, brought to you by Sun Sounds of Arizona. My name is Chuck Berry. I'm your Sun Sounds volunteer reader. I'm going to be reading articles from the Geographic Society. All of them were published in the November 2024 timeline. I hope you enjoy the program. I'll begin with this article, The Science of How Lost Dogs Find Their Way Home. Wayward canines use powerful senses, including possibly tracking Earth's magnetic field, to travel back to their owners. By Rebecca Owen. Every so often, the plot of Homeward Bound, The Incredible Journey, becomes a reality when a lost dog travels an astonishing distance to find its way home. In 2015, Georgia May, a rescue pup, made a 35-mile trek home after running away during a hike in San Diego, California. Laser, the beagle, returned to his Winnipeg, Manitoba neighborhood in 2010, 6 weeks after getting separated from his family during a fireworks display 50 miles away. And back in 1924, Bobby, a collie mix that got separated from his family during a road trip, made his way from Indiana back home to Silverton, Oregon, a 2,800-mile trek that took 6 months and crossed multiple mountain ranges. So how do canines accomplish such impressive journeys? They possess a powerful combination of homing instincts and sharp senses, experts say. Making a mental map. Dogs' homing abilities are likely inherited from their ancestors, the gray wolf, which roamed large swaths of land across Eurasia, where dogs were first domesticated. Like humans, dogs seem to be able to construct mental maps of their environment, said Zazie Todd, the author of Bark, The Science of Helping Your Anxious, Fearful, or Reactive Dog. It's likely that their mental map of an environment is a little different than ours, as it's probably dominated by scents. Tracking, or following a scent trail, is one method dogs use to navigate and orient themselves in their surroundings. Dogs have a sense of smell 10,000 to 100,000 times greater than ours, which gives them the ability to sniff out everything from explosives to COVID-19 to diabetes. Dogs can also recognize familiar landmarks by sight, smell, and sound. Some wayward dogs likely orient themselves by recognizing the relative position of a familiar landmark to their home and their current location relative to that same landmark, says Bridget Scoville, Senior Director of Shelter Behavioral Science at the ASPCA. Using those points of reference, they are then able to travel a rather direct path home. Calibrating an internal compass. Migratory birds, salmon, and whales are a handful of the animals known to tap in to Earth's magnetic field, though the organs controlling magnetoreception are not yet well understood. Dogs may also possess this perplexing ability. For a study published in 2020, researchers in Czechia recruited 27 hunting dogs to participate in a 3-year experiment. During more than 600 field trials, scientists placed GPS trackers and cameras on the canines before releasing them into an unfamiliar forested area. They then tracked the animals when their owners called them back home. All of the study dogs ran an average of nearly a mile into the woods. Nearly 60% of the dogs in the study used their sense of smell to retrace their steps and sniff their way back to their handlers. but another 30% of the canine participants did something else. These dogs employed a scouting strategy, in which they took a novel route that began by running a short distance along the forest's north-south axis, regardless of where their handler was located. Without any familiar visual cues to draw from, the study dogs were likely navigating by Earth's magnetic field. Researchers dubbed this strategy the compass run and noted that it helped the canine test subjects find their humans much more quickly than the dog that used their sense alone. The authors conclude that dogs may pair their mental map with the magnetic field to orient themselves when lost. We have not yet found conclusive evidence that the dogs used magnetic cues for navigation, but this is the most plausible explanation, says study co-author Heinek Berda, professor emeritus of zoology at Germany's University of Duisburg-Essen. Dogs can combine these sensory methods too. While following their nose is slower than scouting, in some cases it might be safer. A dog like us or other animals solving a similar problem can use and switch between different strategies, Berda says. Home is where the dog is. Overall, though, most dogs do not have the possibilities to learn, get experience, or to practice homing from distant, unfamiliar places, says Berda. That's because these incredible journeys are becoming less common, as modern dog breeds are bred to be close to their owners. Dogs raised with humans can form bonds to humans that are similar to child-parent attachments, and a key aspect of this kind of bond is a strong motivation to seek reunion when separated, said Monique Udell, director of the Human-Animal Interaction Laboratory at Oregon State University. When dogs go missing, it's a terrifying experience for them, adds Todd, which is why it's important to keep your pup from wandering away in the first place. If a guardian has made sure their dog has good identification, such as a microchip or a collar with a phone number, that can make it easier to reunite the animal with its family. This is the most helpful thing we can do to make sure the dog doesn't have to find their way home. And that's the end of the first article today. The title was The Science of How Lost Dogs Find Their Way Home by Rebecca Owen. The second article today is titled, Is Tap Water Safe to Drink? Here's what you really need to know. Experts weigh in on the chemicals that can be found in drinking water, how it's regulated, and what you can do if you're worried about your water. Most U.S. residents don't need to worry about the safety of their tap water, but millions of Americans are still exposed to contaminants every year. It can take a water crisis to highlight where drinking water infrastructure is failing. One of the most devastating water crises in recent memory was the lead contamination in Flint, Michigan's drinking water in 2014. As of January 2023, 9 years after the initial contamination, residents are still dealing with the effects. And in 2022 year, a water crisis in Jackson, Mississippi, left many of the city's 150,000 residents without potable water. Here, drinking water experts from the EPA, academia, and advocacy groups weigh in on what you need to know about your tap. What do we commonly find in tap water? In the U.S., about 90% of people get their tap water from a public water system, or PWS. Water from a lake, reservoir, river, or aquifer is piped into a water treatment facility where chemicals are added to the water that bind to pollutants and are sifted out of the system. Some facilities also use bacteria-killing UV light. Chemical disinfectants such as chlorine or chloramine are then added to the water to help kill any pathogens remaining in the water and any that may be lurking in your pipes when the water travels to your home. Byproducts result when water, itself a chemical, mixes with chemical disinfectants. But these aren't always easy to discern. A new study recently isolated and defined chloronitroamide, a byproduct of chloramine that has been present in tap water for years, but difficult to identify from other byproducts. It's not known to be toxic, but the study illustrates how complicated monitoring tap water for millions of Americans can be. Some water treatment facilities, from lack of funding or too little oversight, don't effectively clean their water. In 2015, about 21 million people living in the U.S. were exposed to tap water that violated federal guidelines, according to a study published in 2018. Unsafe and therefore illegal levels of pathogens, bacteria and viruses, nitrates, arsenic, and harmful byproducts were the most common sources of violations, says Maura Allier, study author and a water quality expert at the University of California, Irvine. How is tap water regulated? In 1974, Congress passed the Safe Drinking Water Act, which gave the Environmental Protection Agency, or EPA, the authority to regulate public tap water. When something like lead, for example, is shown to be harmful to human health, the EPA can set a limit for how much is allowed in water supplies. Limits are based on what amount is safe for human consumption and what is technologically feasible for water treatment facilities to accomplish. But these limits don't always result in water that is contaminant-free. There is a gap between what is legal and what is safe, says Sydney Evans, a science analyst at the Environmental Working Group, or EWG. She adds that many regulations are based on decades-old science, which the EWG has argued makes regulations outdated and insufficient. The EWG maintains their own tap water database, where they set much stricter limits than the EPA, based on what they consider to be safe for human health. Their limits are determined by peer-reviewed studies, research done by state agencies, and staff scientists. What are PFAS, the latest chemicals to get EPA attention? Type drinking water into your search bar, and lately you're likely to see articles about how it's full of PFAS. That's pollutants sometimes referred to as forever chemicals. PFAS, per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances, is a group of thousands of chemicals with tightly chemically bound bonds that help them last in the environment for years. Certain PFAS compounds have been linked to serious health issues, such as cancer. Recently, the EPA proposed new limits on 6 of these chemicals in drinking water. Studies conducted on drinking water show PFAS is common in drinking water supplies throughout the U.S., and as a result, these chemicals have been found in our blood. The EPA rules proposed this month would be the first to meaningfully address PFAS pollution at the federal level and paves a way to remove a toxin that's been contaminating drinking water for decades. What about other unregulated contaminants? New rules for currently unregulated contaminants will take time. PFAS, for instance, have been a known hazard for years, but it required large amounts of evidence and research before a rule could be proposed. There is a significant challenge, Eric Bernison, a director at the EPA's Office of Groundwater and Drinking Water, says of proposing new regulations. We need robust scientific information, and we need peer review of that information. We need to know about our ability to manage it. Can we measure it? Can we treat it? Answers to these questions help the EPA defend the potential cost of regulating a new chemical. In addition to the 90 contaminants the EPA already regulates, there are dozens more the agency has identified as a threat to health and in tap water. They include 66 chemicals, 12 microbes, and all PFAS, instead of the 6 they recently proposed to limit. We need further information to move forward, says Bernison, of regulating potentially harmful chemicals. But he adds, they may be in drinking water, and they pose risks. Who's impacted the most by contaminated drinking water? Rural, low-income communities face the most trouble accessing clean tap water. Water treatment facilities that are most likely to violate EPA standards, proximity to agricultural pollution, contaminated groundwater, and underfunded or understaffed treatment facilities put these communities at risk. An analysis of 3 decades of drinking water violations in the U.S. found some states were more likely to have poorer quality drinking water than others. States with agricultural hubs were particularly at risk. Certain racial groups are also more likely to be exposed to poor drinking water. One study looking at California and Texas found Latino and Black communities faced a persistently higher cancer risk from their drinking water. What can you do if you're concerned about your tap? The EPA requires water utilities to publish annual reports identifying any potential health hazards in the community about their water supply. When hazards emerge, securing clean drinking water can cost individuals. For short-term emergencies like a boil water notice, bottled water can be a useful resource. Bottled water bought and sold in the U.S. is regulated by the Food and Drug Administration, which regulates water based on the same standards the EPA has in place for tap water. Studies done on bottled water have found it's no cleaner or safer than well-regulated tap water, but it is sold at several times the price of tap water and promotes plastic waste, an emerging drinking water threat. Filters are another option for addressing tap water concerns. They can be as simple as the relatively inexpensive filters that fit in your fridge, or as complex as a $1,000 filtration system hooked up to the home plumbing. How do we make sure everyone has clean drinking water? There are about 3,000 electric utilities in the U.S., but over 50,000 water utilities. While some serve as many as 8 million people, about half of those facilities serve fewer than 500. Those smaller utilities are less likely to have full-time operators or enough customers to pay for maintenance. With the right policies and enough funding, experts say clean tap water can be guaranteed for everyone. We have the technical know-how to provide safe drinking water, says Allier. It's a policy question of how do we make this a reality. Combining these smaller utilities, creating water contracts where one community purchases water from a larger utility, and paying for well-trained facility managers could all create more water for more communities. And that completes the article. The title was, Is Tap Water Safe to Drink? Here's what you really need to know. This article is titled Some Exciting Archaeological Discoveries That Stunned Us in 2024. Many of today's most significant archaeological discoveries come from applying new techniques to artifacts and human remains already discovered. Details of a Bronze Age disaster, for example, are the culprit in an ancient Egyptian murder mystery. This year was no different. In 2024, modern methods like DNA analysis and remote sensing technology revealed new evidence of past cultures, technologies, and social structures. Here are some of the most important discoveries from the last 12 months. LIDAR reveals hidden cities around the world. LIDAR stands for Light Detection and Ranging, an analog of radar and sonar that scans terrain with thousands of pulses of laser light every second. While the technology has been around for decades, its ability to detect vast structures beneath layers of vegetation and to map the subtle changes of ancient landscapes has recently revolutionized archaeology. Flying in a small plane with LIDAR equipment, archaeologists can scan large areas, and the technique has been especially useful to see beneath dense jungles in Central and South America. Number 2. Tombs, Amulets, and More Uncovered in Egypt. Egyptian artifacts helped inspire the development of modern archaeology, and such discoveries continue. This summer, researchers announced that they had unearthed 33 tombs in southern Egypt and 63 in the Nile Delta, along with stunning gold amulets, coins, and pottery. At around 2,000 years old, many of the new finds date to later periods in Egyptian history, and researchers hope they will reveal more about burial practices and the wider ancient world at the time. Researchers also documented the damaging work posture of Egyptian scribes and detected a long-lost branch of the Nile, now mostly dried up, which was used thousands of years ago to bring stone to build the pyramids at Giza. Number 3. A Desert Tomb at Petra. One of the year's most remarkable finds was the discovery of 12 ancient skeletons in a tomb beneath the treasury at Petra, a desert archaeological site in Jordan known for the elaborate structures carved into its red sandstone cliffs. Archaeologists think nomads called the Nabataeans, an early branch of Arab people, begin burying their dead at Petra in the 4th century BC. And in the 2nd century BC, Petra became the Nabataean capital city, and a complex system of cisterns supplied it with water. The carved rock columns of the treasury, or El Khazneh in Arabic, form Petra's most iconic structure. The name derived from a legend that the large urn above its facade hides a valuable treasure. The urn is actually made from solid sandstone. Though the legend proved false, archaeologists say the tomb is a priceless discovery that will help them learn more about these vanished people. Number 4. AI Reads Scrolls Burned by Vesuvius. In February, researchers announced they'd used an artificial intelligence system to read parts of a 2,000-year-old scroll burned in the Vesuvius eruption of 79 AD, the same volcanic eruption that destroyed Pompeii. The scroll is one of about 1,800 papyrus scrolls discovered in the 18th century amid the remains of Herculaneum, an ancient Roman town about 10 miles from Pompeii that archaeologists think was destroyed by a superheated blast of ash, rock, and gas from the volcano. The eruption reduced the scrolls to charred lumps that were thought unreadable. Now scientists have scanned one of these lumps with X-rays and used artificial intelligence to decipher what it says. The initial discovery comprises 15 columns of text and more than 2,000 written characters about how to enjoy life, likely written by a follower of the Greek philosopher Epicurus. Number 5, the oldest saddle ever discovered. This 2,700-year-old saddle was uncovered in a woman's grave in the Yanghai Cemetery at the edge of the Taklamakan Desert in northwest China. Although humans domesticated horses thousands of years earlier, ancient carvings show they were usually ridden bareback, or with only a mat or blanket for the rider. Saddles were a later technological advance that allowed riders to travel for longer distances without injuring themselves or their mounts. Researchers think horse riding was introduced into China from the northern parts of Central Asia, but the Yanghai saddle is the earliest in the archaeological record. It is made from pieces of leather stitched together and stuffed with straw and animal hair. Such organic items usually decay quickly, but in this case, the dry desert environment preserved them. And with that, we have run out of time today. This has been the National Geographic Society program, brought to you by Sun Sounds of Arizona. My name is Chuck Berry. It's been my privilege to be your Sun Sounds volunteer reader today. I hope you enjoyed the program. Stay well, stay safe, have a wonderful week, and keep listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona with its premium programming. And if you've missed an article that you'd like to hear, go to the sunsounds.org website and click on the broadcast info and audio. Then click on Demand. You'll see a list of articles available to you. Hopefully you'll find the one you're looking for. Thank you so much for spending your time with me today.